Chapter 48. I pounded up the stairs and found that it was getting dark. Damn it. I'd gotten way too used to the upside of ghostliness. I reached up to my neck to find my mother's pentacle amulet and it wasn't there. Which it should have been. I mean, my actual duster had been destroyed, but the one I was wearing was an exact duplicate. There was no reason my mother's amulet shouldn't have been there, but it wasn't. That was possibly something significant. But I didn't have time to worry about it at the moment. Instead, I sent a whisper of will into my staff, and the runes carved in it began to glow with blue-white wizard light, casting their shapes in pure light on the moldy stone walls and floor of the hallway, showing me the way. I didn't have much magic left in me, but a simple light spell was much, much easier than any kind of violent spell, requiring far less energy. I ran down the hall, past the filthy sleeping rooms with curtains for doors, and through the break in the wall, to the old electrical junction room. A flashlight lay on the floor, spilling light onto a patch of wolf fur from a couple of inches away and otherwise doing nothing to illuminate the scene. I had to brighten the light for my staff to see that Murphy and the wolves were lying in a heap on the floor next to the unconscious Big Hoods. The corpse taker was nowhere to be seen. Neither was Molly. I turned in a slow circle, looking for any sign of what had happened, and found nothing. Feet scraped on rock, and I turned swiftly, bringing up my staff, ready to unleash whatever power I had left in me, and found Butters standing halfway down the stairs, looking like a rabbit about to bolt. His face was pale as a sheet behind his glasses, and his dark hair was a wild mess.
"My God," he breathed. "Dresden?"
"Back for a limited engagement," I breathed, lowering my staff. "Butters, what happened?"
I don't know. They started shouting something, and then they just collapsed.
"And you didn't?" I asked.
"I was out there," he said, pointing behind him. "You know, looking out for the police or whatever."
"Being eyes, huh?" I said. I turned back to Murphy and the wolves.
"Yeah, pretty much," he said.
He moved quietly down the stairs.
"Are they all right?"
I crouched down over Murphy and felt her neck. Her pulse was strong and steady. Ditto for the nearest of the wolves. "Yeah," I said, my heart slowing down a little. "I think she..." Something cold and hard pressed against the back of my head. I looked down. Murphy's sig was missing from its holster.
"Everyone trusts a doctor," purred Butters, in a tone of voice that Butters would never have used. "Even wizards, Dresden."
I felt myself tensing.
"Corpse taker. You were able to manifest, after all. Intriguing. You've a natural gift for darker magic, I think. My master would have snapped you up in an instant."
I'd spent an afternoon working with Murphy on gun disarms at Dojo's Hurricane Gym. I tried to remember which way I had to spin to attempt to take the gun away. It depended on how it was being held, and I had no idea how Corpse Taker was holding the weapon on me. I was pretty sure Butters was a lefty, but I didn't think that would matter to the Corpse Taker once she set up shop. "Oh, boy, I could have hung out with people like you. I'm pretty sure it wouldn't have worked out."
"Possibly not," Corpse Taker said. "I accorded you far more respect than you merited as an opponent. How much of you is left behind that body you've cobbled together? Scarcely more than one of those pathetic wraiths, I think. You could have made a viable move in time, but clearly you've no patience, no head for strategy."
"Yeah, I guess I still got a soul and a conscience where you installed that stuff."
"Soul? Conscience?"
Corpse Taker said, almost laughing.
"Those are nothing but words. They aren't even true limits, just the figments of them, useless."
"Just because something isn't solid doesn't mean it isn't real," I said. "If you had a brain in your head, you'd know that."
"You're obsessed with the fantasies of the young," she replied with my friend's breath. "Though I must admit that the ironic reversal of our current state is simply delicious."
And without hesitation or any change in the tone of her voice, she put a bullet into the back of my head. The pain was infinitely brief and indescribable, a massive spike of agony that felt as if it should have sent me flying. I saw a cloud of something fly forward and then splatter all over one of the wolves in the nearest big hood. Ectoplasm, I realized dully. My physical body had been destroyed. It had fallen back into the spirit matter from which I'd formed it. The pain faded, and then I was back in the still, neutral absence of sensation of the ghost state. I reached for the splattered matter with an instinctive, unspoken yearning to return to it. I could barely see my hand. I tried to turn around, but it felt like I was submerged in something thicker and more viscous than water, and it took forever. I stared into the corpse taker's eyes within Butters's face and watched the body-jumping lunatic smirk at me.
"Not much of you now, is there?" she murmured. "You'll be a wraith within days. I think that balances our account. Enjoy eternity, Dresden."
I tried to snarl a curse, but I was just so tired. I couldn't get the sound to come out of me. And by the time I had tried, Corpse Taker had taken Butters's body back to the bottom of the stairs. She was moving so fast. Or maybe I was just that slow. I tried to follow, and all I could manage was to drift in the Corpse Taker's wake, moving with grace, but slowly, so slowly. Corpse Taker made a gesture, and a veil fell away from another shade at the top of the stairs. It was Butters. He stood there, dressed not in his winter gear, but in the scrubs I was far more used to seeing him wear. He was completely motionless, except for his eyes, which rolled around frantically. A rapidly evaporating puddle of ectoplasm spread at his feet. An expression of pure confusion was locked onto his face. Corpse Taker had been a big fan of body switching. When she left me and Morty in the basement, she must have come directly up here to grab a new body. She probably dropped some variant of a sleeping spell on Murphy and the wolves, and then Butters must have shown up. Corpse Taker had gone with her usual trick, forcibly trading bodies with a victim, and the manifested ghost body she'd been in had fallen back into ectoplasm the moment she wasn't there to give it energy and form. Butters' essence, his soul, had just been booted out of his body, and now it stood there, vulnerable and unmoving, brightly colored but fading away, even as I watched. She tossed a quick veil over Butters' shade, so that no one who might come upon her would see him standing there, forlorn and confused, while she drove around in his hijacked body. The thing that really got to me? Corpse Taker threw a little smirk back at me as she got to Butters' shade. There wasn't anything I could do to stop her, but she wanted me to see how thoroughly she'd outthought and outmaneuvered me. But the universe has a funny sense of humor, and apparently it's not always aimed at me. While Corpse Taker looked back at me to smirk, Molly rippled forth from under a veil of her own, on the last step between Butters' stolen body and the explosion-chewed door. She grabbed the Corpse Taker by the front of Butters' coat. Butters wasn't exactly heroic in build. Molly, on the other hand, was several inches taller than he, and had her mother's genes, everything I'd been able to teach her about mixing it up, and 6 months of hard time under the tender, guiding hand of the Linanshi. Molly slammed the Corpse Taker against the wall so hard that stolen teeth slammed together. Then she seized Butters' freaking face in a claw-like hand and thrust her head close, locking eyes with the Corpse Taker. I wanted to scream a negation, but nothing came out. I frantically tried to move faster. If I succeeded, it didn't show. "You want to play head games?" Molly snarled, her blue eyes blazing. "Let's go." The Corpse Taker's face contorted into an expression somewhere between murderous rage and that of an orgasm, and she opened her stolen eyes wide. Molly and the Dark Wizard went into a soul gaze, and there wasn't a thing I could do about it, except keep trying to get closer. I could feel power flickering between them, though, like bursts of heat coming out of a furnace, as I got glacially nearer. It was an entirely invisible struggle, a simultaneous and mutual siege of the personality. Mind magic is dangerous, slippery stuff, and doing combat with another mind is all about imagination, focus, and sheer willpower. Right now, Molly was thrusting an array of images and ideas at the corpse taker, trying to force the other to pay attention to them. Some of the thoughts would be there to undermine defenses, others to assault them, and still others trying to slip past unnoticed to wreak havoc from within. Some of the thoughts would be simple things, whispered doubts meant to shake the other's confidence, for example. Others would be far more complex constructions, idea demons imagined ahead of time, prepared for such an occasion, and unleashed upon the thoughts and memories of the foe. The White Council hated mind magic, generally speaking. If you beat someone's defenses, you could do a lot of things to them, and precious few of them were good. Events, however, had forced them to acknowledge the necessity of giving all of its members lessons in psychic self-defense that were more comprehensive than the simple wall technique that I'd been briefly introduced to. A couple of old-timers who knew how to play the game had begun dispensing the basics to everyone interested in learning. As it turned out, I had a natural fortress of a personality, which explained a lot, like how hard it had always been for a fairy glamour to trick me for long, and why I'd been able to grind through several forms of mental assault over the years. If someone came in after me, they had a big badass castle to contend with. They could pound on it all day, as such things were measured, without breaking the defenses, and I'd been told that it would take an extended campaign to conquer my head entirely. Like any decent castle, there were multiple lines and structures where new defenses could take hold. But I didn't have much of a forward game. For me, the best offense had to be an obstinate defense. Molly, on the other hand, well, Molly was sort of scary. Her castle wasn't huge and imposing. The damn thing was invisible, made of mirrors covered in fog, wrapped in darkness, and generally hard even to pin down, much less besiege. Anyone who went into her head had better bring a GPS, a seeing eye dog, and a backup set of eyeballs. Worse, her offense was like dealing with a Mongolian horde. She'd send in waves and waves of every kind of mental construction imaginable, and while you were busy looking at those, ninja thoughts would be sneaking through your subconscious, planting the psychological equivalent of explosives. We'd practiced against each other a lot, immovable object versus irresistible force. It generally ended in a draw when Molly had to quit and nurse a headache, at which point I would join her in scarfing down aspirin. A couple of times my thuggish constructions had stumbled over her defenses and started breaking mirrors. A couple of times her horde had gotten lucky or particularly sneaky. We'd had the same thought image set up to signal victory. Vader swooping down in his TIE fighter, smugly stating, "I have you now." Once that got through, the game was over. But outside of practice, that thought could just as easily be something more like, "Put your gun into your mouth and pull the trigger." We both knew that. We both worked hard to improve as a result. It was part of the training I'd taken every bit as seriously as teaching her theory or enchantments or exorcism, or any of 100 other areas we'd covered over the past few years. But we'd never done it for blood. The corpse taker moved Butters's hand up to gently frame Molly's cheeks and said,
"My, my, my. Training standards have improved."
Molly slammed corpse taker's head back against the wall with a short, harsh motion and said,
"Stop squirming and fight."
Corpse Taker bared Butters's teeth in a slow grin and suddenly surged forward, slamming Molly's back against the opposite wall while simultaneously moving up a stair so that their eyes were on the same level.
"Slippery little girl. But I was crushing minds like yours centuries before your great-grandfather's grandfather left the old country."
Molly suddenly let out a gasp and her face twisted in pain.
"They never have the stomach to hurt their darling little apprentices," Corpse Taker crooned. "That's called pain. Let me give you a lesson."
"Lady," Molly panted, "did you pick the wrong part of my life in which to mess with me?" She took a deep breath and spoke in a ringing, furious voice.
Now get the fuck out of my friend, Idiru!
I felt the surge of her will as she spoke the word, and suddenly reality seemed to condense around my apprentice. There was a terrible, terrible force that ripped forth from her, pulling hungrily at everything around it. I'd felt something similar once, when a nascent White Court vampire had unintentionally begun to feed on me, an energy that spiraled and swirled and pulled at the roots of my senses. But that was only one facet of the gravity that Molly exuded with the spell. Corpse Taker's eyes widened in surprise and sudden strain. Then she snarled.
Have it your way. The little doctor was my second choice in any case.
And then I saw Corpse Taker's dark, mad soul flow into my apprentice on the tidal pull of the beckoning she'd performed. The expression of Butters's face went empty and he collapsed, utterly without movement of any kind. 3 feet away, his shade's helpless, confused gaze locked onto his fallen physical form, and his eyes went wide with terror. Molly screamed in sudden shock and fear. In that instant, I saw in her eyes the reflection of her terror, the panic of someone who has come loaded for bear and found herself face to face with a freaking dinosaur instead. My drifting, dream-slow advance had finally gotten me close enough. With sluggish and agonizing grace, I stretched out one hand and caught the corpse taker's ankle as she slithered into my apprentice. I settled my grip grimly and felt myself pulled forward into the havoc of the war for Molly's body, mind, and soul.